for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
A Saturday morning, September the 3rd, 2005. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. William Null, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, is the minister of this service.
My name is William Null. I was raised in Alabama. My father was, we lived on a farm for a while, and we lived a self-sufficient life. Born to the Depression when most families were self-sufficient. Most families had a milk cow. Most families had chickens. Most families had a garden behind the house. Number of families had a pig pen a little further out. And if you had enough land, you raised some corn, which you took to the grist mill and had ground on shares, so that you had corn to eat. In Alabama, we didn't raise much wheat. And you lived out of the garden in the summertime and out of the mason jar in the wintertime. We were about what you would define today as poor people, but we were never poor. It never bothered us because everybody else was in the same boat. Everybody else did the same thing, and we lived a good life. There were some problems in my family due to sins of the fathers, but I won't go into those. I can just say that I was raised with a mother and a father who was stern, but they loved us. They had a little difficulty sometimes showing it, but as I got older, God showed me that they loved me and they did the best they could because they raised me the way they were raised. But I want to talk about what they fed me. And we ate cornmeal. We ate eggs. We ate milk and butter. We raised 100 chickens a year, little bitties, and killed them. And we put them in the cold storage plant, and we lived off a chicken. We had one calf that we grew and the milk cow and the neighbor's bull. And these things were... And my father's great delight was when we got to eat the porterhouse steak from the calf. We had some goats that we had, but we stayed relatively healthy. My father liked pork. I somehow never liked pork very much for some reason. I didn't eat a lot of pork. And I hated pig killing time. Oh, God. And I hated the time we slaughtered the pigs in the fall and the spring. But I grew up and I went to school and I realized that there was a difference between me and some other people who seemed to have more money, and I said that I would not be poor. And so I looked around and I decided I'd become a physician. They seemed to make a lot of money and were respected. My mother put four of us through medical school, through college, two of us through medical school. My sister married a doctor. Through sheer force of will, she said God would provide, and he did, because we worked. There was a dollar to be made. Those no boys were out there scratching for it now. And we got out of medical school. And when I was in medical school, I met a man named Tinsley Harrison, who's the father of modern cardiology. He was the head of the Department of Medicine at the University of Alabama. He founded the medical departments in five universities, a record for any one person. He came back to Alabama because he was proud of the fact he was from Alabama. Genius. In 1953, he devised a diet to prevent heart disease. And being one of his pupils, I got on his diet. And he said, drink skim milk. One. Number two, you don't eat pig, period. You just don't eat pig, period. It's bad for you. It causes heart disease. It causes high blood pressure. It causes strokes, so you don't eat it. Three, he said that if you ate eggs, you cooked them in corn oil margarine. And four, you eat vegetables and don't drink and don't eat sugar. That was his diet. Well, I didn't eat pig. I quit eating pig. I drank skim milk. I ate my eggs cooked with corn oil margarine. And I ate corn oil margarine. Corn oil. And then I ate corn oil margarine. And when I had my cholesterol checked in 1959, I'd been on the diet for 6 or 8 years. The internist said, "My Lord, what do you do?" He said, "Your cholesterol is less than 100. And I was so proud of myself. But I had a little trouble with my weight, you understand. I had a little proud of myself. But he said, "You're about 20 or 30 pounds overweight, Bill. You need to get the weight off." And I stayed on Dr. Harrison's diet until about 1982, 83. And that's when I became associated with Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, and I met Glenn and Irma Miller. And Glenn and Irma took me through the Old Testament, and I said, "They're down there running through the Old Testament." And I quoted Acts, where it said, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit not to lay on you any more than these necessary things, that you avoid blood, meat strangled, food offered to idols, and fornication." And I said, "That's all the law that applies to me. I can eat anything I want to." But I knew that when I ate pork, I got sick. But I couldn't get my weight under control. And I didn't, and the thought of eating blood just, we used to feed our hunting dogs blood to put the killer instinct into them. We fed our dogs blood because it gave them that killer instinct to get that deer, to get that coon. And I used to do coon hunting, and we'd sit up and listen to the dogs chase the coon, the raccoon. And then we'd go down, when they got the raccoon cornered in a tree, we'd go down and we'd shoot the raccoon and fall out and the dogs tear him up. And give them that killer instinct. That's what we were looking for. And the deer dogs, when they got a deer, we'd kill the deer, drain the blood out, give it to the dogs. Then I looked at the Bible. The Bible said you weren't supposed to. What were you supposed to do with blood? You were supposed to pour it on the ground and cover it with dirt. And then I realized that why those dogs. I realized later that the life was in the blood. And that word life is really nephah, which means soul. And the soul is in the blood. And what they were doing was we were creating ungodly soul ties in those animals to raccoons and to deer to make them want to kill, to chase and to kill that animal. People who, when heathen cultures, whose god was Thor, whose ticket to Valhalla, their heaven, was to die with a sword in your hand. That's where my ancestors came from. My ancestors believed in Valhalla. And if you died without a sword in your hand, you didn't go to that wonderful place, Valhalla, where you would live and have wine, women, and song the rest of your life. That's the reason those people eat blood sausage, blood soup, blood pudding. It puts violence, anger, rage, and murder into them, hatred. The Bible says to hate is murder. It's a curse that comes on those races. We're dealing with another group of people today who have anger, hues, and rages. And feel that the way to get to heaven is to die in a holy war. And we're dealing with that in this today. But that was my ancestral curse. Ancestral curse from my mother's side was pretty much the same. It was Indian. When you kill the animal, you cut his heart out and you ate it raw, blood and all. That gave you the killer instinct. That gave you the strength of the beast that you killed. And you all saw the dance with the wolves. You saw the man kill the buffalo. They killed the buffalo. They cut the heart out of the buffalo and gave it to him to eat. It wasn't the liver he ate, it was the heart. In India, the man kills a tiger, he cuts it out, he cuts the heart out of the tiger and he eats it. That gives him the strength of the tiger. Praise you, Lord God. We have radicals in those lands that will die for their, who are willing to die. They think that is a way to go into nirvana. That's the reason you don't drink, eat blood. It also causes diabetes. So I was raised in these things, and so then I read a book by a physician, and he talked about God's diet. And I got really interested in God's diet. And so today I want to talk to you about God's diet. And when I came here a few years back, when I joined the staff permanently full-time, retired from medical practice, I joined the health club because I have believed in keeping my body. I was a good Boy Scout. It says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God, my country, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And so to keep myself physically strong, I have exercised in a health club for 40 years. 30 minutes, 45 minutes of aerobic exercise. In 1965, we had Dr. Cooper, who was a dentist, who's the father of modern aerobic exercise, came in and talked to us about the cardiac benefits of aerobic exercise. Now, aerobic means exercise, means to exercise to the point that you used up all the oxygen and your heart is beginning to metabolize without oxygen. Therefore, it will dilate the coronaries to bring in new blood. And if you do this for 30 minutes, three times a week, you stay in good health. Now they're recommending an hour and a half, three times a week. But they find that if you exercise 30 minutes, 5 days a week, you'll get 95% of the benefit of the hour and a half, three times a week. And I've been exercising an hour a day, 5 days a week for 40 years. I have not the last 2 weeks because of my schedule. It's been rather hectic. I don't obviously do it during camp meeting. God expects you to exercise and to keep your body physically fit. And He expects you to take in food that He has designed for your body. And He has listed in your Bible, in His Word, foods, helpful foods that you should eat. And today we're going to look at that. Okay? I met Dr. Russell. I'm sorry, I was at the health club, and it was advertising the thing, the Bible Diet, at the First Baptist Church. I thought, now that is an interesting combination. I've got to go and see what the Baptists say about the Bible Diet. And that man got up and talked. It could have been Brother Glenn and Irma talking to me. I said, man, I think he trained under Glenn Miller myself. And so Dr. Russell, I thought his testimony, I should just repeat his testimony because I thought it was most interesting. Dr. Russell, when he was 13 years old, was diagnosed as diabetic, type 1 diabetes. And they told him that if he stayed on his diet faithfully, took his regular insulin four times a day, because it's the only kind they had then, checked his urine four times a day and was faithful with his diet, they could promise him 20 years. But they didn't think he'd live longer than that. But he could get 20 good years if he take care of himself. So he said he faithfully did that. He got a football scholarship. He played football in high school. He got a football scholarship to University of Oklahoma. Played first grade. Received some honors for his football playing, went to medical school, graduated from medical school, became a invasive radiologist, practiced in Houston, Texas, and then moved to Fort Smith, nationally recognized invasive radiologist. When he was 33 years old, he hit the wall. Now, you hit the wall means that suddenly Your diabetes is out of control and that you just can't handle it. You're getting all kind of complications. Your blood sugar's going crazy and you're doing everything right. And he could see it affecting his children. And he got real serious with God. And he told me that God spoke to him and said, you'd be okay if you would stay on my diet. And he said, what diet? The diet in my word. Well, he got really serious about the diet in the Word of God. He didn't say much about the diet in the New Testament. But you know, people, it's all one book. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. In the Old, you can't understand the New Testament unless you know the Old Testament. You cannot understand all of God's promises. You can't understand the working of God if you don't know the Old Testament. You know, I meet folks who think God got saved between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They say it's not the same God. It's not the same God. My God is the God of love and compassion. Now look at what he did there. Man, that's not my God. Well, you know, they act like God got saved. Which just shows an ignorance of the Word of God. It is the same God. It's his same love and compassion in his long suffering and man's utter corruptibility without God. And he began to follow God's diet. He is now 75 years old. Now remember, back in the 40s, he was told he's going to only live 20 years. He still has diabetes, but he has no complications from diabetes. His kidneys still function properly. His vision is still good. His circulation is good. He has no burning, no peripheral neuritis. He hasn't lost his fingers or his toes because of bad circulation. He hasn't had any strokes or heart attacks. And he's still walking with God. And he is walking around teaching God's diet. Now, I have a copy of his book, Kim. Unfortunately, Patty only has one copy. And I would recommend you have her order you one. Because it's an excellent book. And it gives lots of good practical advice. But I'm going to talk to you about my experience, okay? I'm going to talk to you about my experience. And my understanding of Scripture. And so today we're going to start. We'll look first at Leviticus chapter 11. Well, let's look at something else first. Let's look about God's laws about fat and blood. Okay? Let's look first at Leviticus chapter 3. Now, I pointed this out to my friends and they said to me, oh, well, Doc, you know, that's talking about the sacrifices. But it says here in Leviticus chapter 3, it starts off talking about the sacrifice of the peace offering and burning all the fat of the animal. Okay? And then at the end, chapter 17, verse 17, 3:17 says, this shall be a perpetual or everlasting ordinance, a statute, throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. People say, well, that's about the sacrifice. You're not supposed to eat the fat from the sacrifices. Really? Well, let's look over Leviticus chapter 7, 23, and see what he says. And here, he's talking about Moses spoke to me. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, says, speak to the children of Israel and say, you shall not eat any fat of the ox, of the sheep, and of the goat. Those are the clean animals. Who was that? Right there. You shall not eat any fat of the ox, or the sheep, or the goat. Whoever eats the fat of an animal, the animal which men offer for offering made by sacrifice to God, that person who eats of it shall be cut off from his people. That means to be dead, killed, stoned. But back then it said just you need any. Okay. Not only the offering, but any. More you shall not eat any blood. Whoever eats any blood shall be cut off. That's 26 and 27. He's talking about any, in your dwelling. He's not talking about where you offer sacrifices in the temple. He's talking about in your dwelling. You don't eat the fat. Well, what do you do with it? You use it to grease your wheels on spokes on the wheels of your cart. You use it to burn in your lamps and so forth. But you don't eat it. Well, how do you eat your meat then? Well, it says right here, let's see. Meat. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 8. Look at verse 31. It says you're going to boil it. And that's talking about the sacrifice again, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Does it ever say that you should roast the meat on fire? Yeah, it does. Let's look where it says that. That is referred to three, four times in the Bible. The first one is Exodus 12:8. See what it says about roasting meat here. 12:8. Exodus 12:8. They shall eat the flesh on that night roasted in fire. Do not eat it raw or boiled at all with water, but roasted on fire. Talking about the Passover lamb. Another time he's speaking of roasting is in Deuteronomy 16:7. Speaking again of the Passover lamb. Well, what else does it say about roasting? Let's look at 1 Samuel 2:15. 1 Samuel 2:15. It says, now he's talking about the sons of Eli. They were corrupt and did not know the Lord, it says in verse 12. And also before they burned the fat, the three servants would come to say to the man who sacrificed, give me meat for roasting for the priest. We will not take it boiled meat from you, but raw. And he went on to say, if you don't give it to him, I'll take it by force. God said these were corrupt men. And because they were corrupt and did other corrupt things, they died. Now let's look at another place. Let's look over to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verses 16. And here God is talking about a man who goes out in the woods and cuts a tree down. And out of half of it he makes an idol and worships it. The other half he cuts up wood and makes a fire. And then it says, he will burn half of it with a fire, and with his half he eats his meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. And so the two places you see roasting in there, one is where God says you, the only way you can eat this is to roast it. Passover lamb. Jesus is our Passover, so we don't do the Passover anymore. It has been fulfilled. But we don't have to go out and cut a lamb and get the blood and put it on the doors. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He was sacrificed for us. We don't sacrifice a Passover lamb anymore and roast it and eat it to be righteous before God. We can remember that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And we can memorialize that. And we ain't instructed to do that. But any place else he speaks of roasting, he's talking about idolaters and corrupt, wicked people. Well, how did the Hebrews eat? They boiled it in water and skimmed the fat off. Find me a place where it speaks of roasting. Every time it speaks of eating meat, it speaks of boiling it and having the broth. And skim the fat off. You don't eat it. Well, what did God say you could eat? Well, let's look first at Genesis. Genesis 1:29. What did God give you for food in the garden? God said, see, I give you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, you shall be for you food. If it gives seed, you can eat it. What does it say about mushrooms? Toadstools. They don't give seed. They give spores. My memory of mushrooms and toadstools is I used to see them when I was shoveling, cleaning up after the milk cow and piling the rubbish over here. And if it rotted and composted, toadstools would grow up out of it. That's my memory of toadstools. Now, I don't eat mushrooms. Now, there's some evidence it's quite bad for you. I won't go into that. A lot of people like mushrooms. Okay? The Bible doesn't say you should eat them. It is not given to you as food in the Bible. Okay? What do you say about the animals that were in the garden? Verse 30. And for every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth, not in that water, but on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. You know, the carnivorous animals did not eat other animals until after the fall. And if you read Isaiah, when he speaks of the restoration, he says the lion shall lay down with the sheep and the cow. The adder, the child shall put his hand in this adder and the snake's hole and not be bitten. Oh, that demonic eating of other animals will pass away. That's what the Bible says. So, a number of people say you shouldn't eat meat at all. I think your health will be a lot better if you don't eat. Ask Mildred. Is that right, Mildred? Mrs. Cassandra. Is that right?
Since doctor said what he did, this is a hard preaching. Nobody wants to give up anything that they like. But in the eating of blood in meat, if it isn't killed kosher, like the Jewish people kill it, you can't get the blood out of the meat. And God said, don't eat the blood.
Amen.
And it's been about 70 years that I have not ate any kind of flesh. Because if God said it, that's the way it is. And in the first chapter of Genesis, He said he's going to have a man. Let us make a man in my likeness and image. And he told that man what to eat. He made the herbs and fruits for that man. Now God's going to have that man if it's another 10,000 years. And it'll be a many-membered man like the body of Christ is. So God is bringing us into a close place. You choose this day who and what you will serve and do for God. This is individual. But God has a reason for telling us these things. And when before ever there was a man made, before the earth was made, he said, I'm going to have a man. We're going to make a man. And so now you can do what you want to about it. But I say leave it off. You can live without it.
How old?
You'll be healthier without it. And he said...
How old are you now?
Yeah, and he said this. He said this. I will require the life of that animal that you eat their blood at your hand. You want to know why people are dying? Sick and disease? That's the biggest reason right there, because God said it. If I'm going to require, he's going to require my life for the animal's life if I eat their blood. Now, God said it. I didn't. And that's the reason he said, let us make a man. So he's making that man, and you can all be part of that man. Say, oh, but it tastes so good. Ah, honey, when we got saved, my husband had a pen full of hogs. We had all kinds of hog meat hanging in this smokehouse. But when God said it, and I walked in it, and it was a little while before my husband would quit raising hogs. And when you're on a farm, that's a big income for farmers. But one day he come in, And he set the old slop bucket down where he took. And he said, well, God spoke to me and told me to quit raising hogs. I said, well, I've been telling you that for several months. That was the last hog ever was on our place.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Milt.
No, let's be obedient to the will and purpose of God.
Thank you, Lord.
There's so much to be gained. And he has been so wonderful and washed us in his blood. And he took away our sins.
Praise
and he's given us the right to live. Let's obey God in all that we know.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we're going to answer for it anyhow.
Yeah.
This is a church that is moving in God. It's not like other churches.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
I don't see all together and I don't have to. But I know for the way when God speaks to me, good.
Praise the Lord.
It's the Word of God.
Thank you, Mildred. The point I want to make to you is that Mildred is now over 95 years old. She works every day. She waits tables at the racetrack when the racetrack is in session. She teaches. She works 40 hours a week in a child care center taking care of small children. She's in good health. She still has her driver's license. She reads. She drives her car, and she takes care of herself at 95. Okay. I want to say to you this, that I just really like a good roasted steak. It's been a long time since I had one. It's been a long time since I've had one. I like prime rib. It's been a long time. When I came to the camp here, I used to eat real raw meat. I wanted my steak done red blood rare. And Irma looked at me and said, folks eat raw, eat rare meat or raw meat, got a lust problem. I said, oh God, Irma, cast it out of me. And she did. And you know something? I ate my meat well done after that. I said, let's go on. Let's go on. We need to move on now. I just wanted to tell you that there's something to it. Now, if I step on your toes, don't get mad at me. If you don't believe everything just the way Mildred and I believe it, that's okay. There's some essential things that you need to believe. One is that you shouldn't eat blood. You shouldn't eat fat. Okay? Those are essential things. The Bible told the men that they could eat as much meat as they wanted to, as long as they ate it God's way, and they ain't roasted. And that's without fat and without blood. Okay, let's see here. So let's look at God's laws now. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 11. They said, oh, you're not going to get that out. Yeah? Well, I think Jesus died. When he died, that was the end of the law. Oh, really? What scripture are you quoting? Well, Romans says that. Well, let's look at that. Before we go to Leviticus, just put one of these little doodads in Leviticus 11. One of your little strings there. And, you know, I used to say, somebody told me you were supposed to carry your Bible with those when I first got the Bible. It was worth. But we'll put one of those little strings in it. And let's go over here to Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ, that you do not get your righteousness from keeping the law. You do not get your right standing before God by keeping the law. Because you can't do it. Jesus was the only one who ever kept the law completely, perfectly. And I told the men yesterday that all who are under the law are under a curse. It says that in Galatians chapter 3. All who are under the works of the law are under a curse. You want to be under a curse? But Jesus was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from that. It says that those who are under the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, are not under the law. How many of y'all walk in the Spirit 100% of the time? Now, don't embarrass yourself by holding up your hand. You need to give it every night. You need to sit down before God and look at the acts of the flesh, books of the flesh, and say, God, have I done this? Have I lost my temple, Lord? Have I been selfish or self-centered, Lord? Have I had lustful or sinful thoughts, Lord? And so forth and so forth and so forth. And you say, oh God, forgive me and give me the strength to turn away from that. I break any curses that have been coming on me for falling back under the law by sinning, Lord. I am sorry. Oh God, forgive me and give me your strength, Lord, to do your will. Because as your word says, it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. I like the New Living Translation. That says God who gives you the desire to please him and the power to do his will. And so you have to call for God. But every night you need to go through and break that and say, God, give me the strength to walk in agape love. And then look at what it says about agape love. Charity believes all things, endures all things, suffers all things, never fails. Give me that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so, it is the end of the law of attaining righteousness, because God is your righteousness, but is the end of the law for how God feels about things? No. Romans says the law is holy, the law is perfect. And so this is how God feels. And God says, I've given you certain foods, and I've given you a guideline to follow, so you won't defile my temple. Now let's look what he says that you should do so that you don't defile his temple. Now let's look in Leviticus chapter 11. It says, and it goes on through here, and you need to read. I'm not going to read all these chapters, but it says that, the animals you can meet, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven and chewed the cud, you may eat. That's the cow and the sheep and the goat and the ox. But you can't eat the fat. We've already read that. All the blood. Okay? It says that, of the fish in the sea, it says you don't eat the swine. Don't eat any pig at all, like Dr. Harrison said, no pig. He didn't. Dr. Harrison, good Christian man. But I don't think he applied it on this. But you may eat whatever's in the water that has fins and scales. Fins and scales. Have you eat fish got fins and scales? That mean you eat the catfish? No. What does a catfish do? He's a scavenger. He goes along the bottom and he's God's vacuum cleaner. Vacuums up all the filth and the corruption and all the toxins. And he got skin on him, no scales. What about a lobster? Well, they sit on the bottom down there and they eat up all the crud and the corruption and crabs and all these shellfish. Well, I happen to like lobster. Did you know that the cholesterol in the crab fish was higher than anything else? Same is true of lobster. Not only that, the bacteria count is high. You know the bacteria count in catfish was 5 times higher than the bacteria count in cow's meat? That's the reason you have to be so careful with pork and catfish. Pork, bacteria count is much higher than in beef. That's the reason pork spoils so easy. You have to be so careful with it because the bacteria count's high. It's got more germs in it. That's because it's a vacuum cleaner. It's a garbage collector. God said you don't eat garbage collectors. What about the birds of the air? You don't eat the vultures. The things that eat carrion and garbage. What about the insects? Said you can eat grasshoppers. Who wants to eat a grasshopper? Did you know that there's a group that lives off the coast of Korea that the average lifespan is 130 years old? And they live off of dried locusts. I mean, the best source of dietary of one of the best oils for your heart comes out of the grasshopper. The locust. Well, the locust and the grasshopper, same thing. And I read that, and I looked at him, and I still said, Lord, I can't eat that. I can't eat that, Lord. But I guess if I got hungry enough, I could. You'd be surprised what you eat when you get hungry enough. Talk to people starving to death. They'll tell you what you eat. You eat the bark off of trees. Okay. Well, Dr. Noah, it says right here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, right here, right here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, right here. I said, well, let's see what chapter that says. It's right here, chapter 4. He says, that's chapter 3, here's chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. I'm reading to you out of the New King James now. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay? Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, or it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Well, I got the Old King James down, and I looked it up. And why the Old King James? Because Strong's Concordance is coded to the Old King James. And so you can go back and look up the original Greek and see what the original Greek said. And so I got it down and I read it. And the word there in Timothy is meat. And so it says certain foods, and it says meat. Okay. And I looked that up in King James, and it says food that is referred to in the Jewish law, the Hebrew law. I said, oh. And so then we look back at the New King James, and it says food that was designed to be created. Oh, are you talking about clean foods? You're telling them they can't have clean foods? So let's look at the Amplified. And here in the Amplified, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving heed to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrine that demons teach, through hypocrisy and pretensions of lies, whose consciences are seared, who forbid people to marry and teach them to abstain from certain kinds of foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe, and have an increasingly clear knowledge of the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be refused, thrown away, or refused to receive with thanksgiving. And so what he's speaking of there, you see, is God has created these for food. That's the full meaning of it. Things that God has created for food. Well, did he create the pig to be eaten? No. Did he create fat to be eaten? No. Not animal fat. It says nothing, no thing is to be thrown away. Well, and then I remembered the experience of Mel Torrey. Do y'all know who Mel Torrey was? Mel Torrey wrote a book called Like a Mighty Wind. And he was a person that God used in Indonesia for his revival in the 60s. And Mel came under conviction where I am today. And he was teaching on this verse. And he had one brother who was a deacon in the church, had just argued vehemently with him that everything that God had created was good and to be received with prayer if it was sanctified with prayer and thanksgiving. And so Mel went before God. And God said, go out and look in the bushes behind the church and on the ground, and you will find something for the brother to eat that I created. And so Mel went out, and he looked in the bushes behind the church, and there were a bunch of dog droppings on the ground. Created by God, you understand. God's creature. And so he scooped one up in a spoon and took it in. He said, "Here, brother, pray over this and sanctify it and eat it. It's one of God, from God's creatures, created by God. Eat it." Brother couldn't eat that. Okay? That's how God feels about the pig and all the other scavengers in the world. They are the refuge. They're not to be eaten. They're put there by God. They were good. They were put there by God for a purpose. And that's to take up all the garbage. And all that's unclean. But they weren't put there for you to eat. And that's my interpretation of the verse. Now, you may disagree with me. I won't get mad if you disagree. Please don't get mad with me because of what I believe. But I say this to you. There is a verse that I would like to read to you. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6 first. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, that you're not your own? You were bought with a price, purchased with the precious and paid for and made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him with your body. All right, let's turn over now to chapter 3:16-17. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple and his sanctuary, that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? If anyone does hurt to God's temple or corrupts it with false doctrine or destroys it, God will hurt him and bring him to corruption and death and destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, sacred to him. And that temple, you, the believing church and individual believer, are. And so if you defile God's temple by bringing unclean food into it, unclean things, things that he never intended for you to take, then you walk out from under his covering and diseases and corruption will destroy your body. That's right. During World War II, the English had only a 6-week supply of wheat in their country at any one time. Now, when you talk about famine, feeding people who are dying from hunger, you talk about wheat. Wheat. During the World War II, England never had more than a 6-week supply of wheat at any one time because the German U-boat blockade. When you mill wheat, you take something that God has given us that has all the vitamins in it and all the minerals and most of the amino acids. You cannot live on wheat alone. Millet is the only cereal grain as originally given by God that you can live on alone. They found this out in World War I. But you can live on wheat and skim milk. Whole ground wheat and skim milk and honey you can live on. The Mormons keep a year's supply of wheat. The good Mormons keep a year's supply of wheat in their basement waiting on the tribulation. And skim and dried powdered skim milk. Since this stuff spoils, they eat a lot of whole wheat. And they have a hand grinder to grind it. But during World War II, the health of the British people improved. Their death rate went down until the end of the war when they started milling wheat again and the death rate went back up. This was also witnessed by in Denmark in World War I. Their death rate went down 33% when they ate just whole ground wheat with the bran, the wheat germ. And I was talking about this, and I was witnessing it to my patients, you know, and this gentleman who's worked for ADM looked at me and said, "Doctor, how much do you know about milling wheat?" I said, "Very little." He said, "People, if we did that, if we just ground the whole and sent it out," said, "it would only be, without refrigeration, it would only be about 3 weeks before it would have weevils in it. That's the reason we take the wheat germ out." I said, "Oh, how nice." And he said, "Second, if we put all that bran in it, people wouldn't buy it. They'd buy somebody else's milled wheat." So, if you buy the wheat, and my grandmother had, and my mother had a thing that you grind stuff with. You grind your own wheat, and you can cook it. You can live off of it. I lived off of ground wheat and skim milk for 3 years. Occasionally I would eat out when I took people out to eat to pay back social obligations, and I would eat out, and I ate worldly foods. I recommend to you that you grind, but whole wheat bread that's got the bran and the wheat germ in it is very helpful, and it prevents cancer. The Bantu in India, in Africa, that eat whole ground millet and no animals, cancer is unheard of in their intestinal tract. Cancer of the stomach, cancer of the colon, cancer of the pancreas, and on and on. And so you eat wheat, whole ground wheat. Not only that, you see, modern flour is mostly sugar, simple carbohydrates. So that when you eat it, your blood sugar goes up. And your pancreas makes insulin to bring it down. And that puts stress on you. And eventually, you can become diabetic. There was an interesting study that was published in the newspaper about children who drink pop. Now, if you take your teenagers to McDonald's, you can get a 44 super size, 44 ounces of pop with a free refill. Has 10 calories per ounce of sugar in pop. That's 1,000 calories of pure sugar. The study showed that if you drank one can of pop a day, one can a day. Now, I'm reaching to remember the exact figures. But I think diabetes was about 3 times more evident if you didn't drink any pop at all. If you drink 3 cans a day, it just skyrockets. If you only drink one can a week, you're only 20% more likely to get diabetes type 1. You worried about your weight? Quit eating sugar. Don't eat anything got any sugar in it. You'd be surprised how it'll cut on your diet. I was at the motel. I went on a minister trip last week, and I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express, and I went in for the free continental breakfast. All I could eat in that place was an apple and a pear. Everything else had sugar in it. I ate 2 apples and a pear. And so God says you can eat food. What kind of sweets does the Bible give you? Honey. Honey. It speaks of cane sugar being sacrificed on offering, not eaten. It speaks of honey. And that is a complex carbohydrate. It's not a simple sugar. And so I recommend to you that you eat honey, skim milk, ground wheat. You can eat vegetables. What kind of vegetables? Eat those that got dark color on them. Any kind of vegetables, but those with dark color have more antioxidants, which neutralize free radicals that destroy your heart and your blood vessels. The dark colors generally have more than the light colors. That's the reason they say you should eat 5 helpings of vegetables and fruit to get your antioxidants. See, well, taking vitamin E, but now they got some studies showing that's not good for you. That actually increases some instances of heart attack and strokes. But if you eat God's vegetables, you get natural antioxidants that will protect you
You eat God's fruits. Nuts. There are nuts. Nuts of lots of oil. There are lots of nuts that are listed in the Bible. In the Bible. My advice to you, if you eat nuts, don't buy the cracked nuts at the grocery store. They have lots and lots of calories in them. Buy the whole nuts and crack them and pick the nuts out. You won't eat that as many that way. Personally, I eat a quarter of a cup of walnuts every day on my salad. I dice it up. That's all I'll eat is a quarter of a cup. It has omega-3 oil in it. It's very good for you. I eat almonds. They're in the Bible. I dice those up. Sometimes I eat a quarter cup of those. Sometimes I eat a quarter cup of Brazil nuts. But nuts are good for you. And so what are the rules that we should follow? Blueberries are good for you. Number one, eat clean foods. Eat the foods, listen to the Bible, is clean. Number two, don't eat the fat and the blood. If you want to eat meat, fine, boil it. You know, my mother used to cook what she called Irish stew, and she'd take a roast and she'd put it in, put all these vegetables around it, and she'd boil it, skim the fat off, throw it away, and we took the broth and put it on our cornbread. But the fat was skimmed off first. That's the biblical way. I don't think Mother knew that, but she felt that it was not good for you to eat a lot of grease, and she didn't like grease. If you want oil, the oil given to you to eat is olive oil. And there's numerous studies showing that olive oil is good for you. Eat it as near as possible as God has given it to you. Don't process it. They take God's wheat and they stand. When they get through with it, you wouldn't recognize it. The modern food industry has taken animals. They've taken the cows and they bred them and they overfeed them and they give them antibiotics and they give them steroids. And all these things come in the meat and they're not good for you. Raw meat, get you a cow that's raised on the grass out there. Not one that's stuck in a stall and fed God only knows what. Chicken manure. Did you know that one third of the diet of the cows in the feedlot is chicken manure? Y'all know that? And they had an edict come out saying they couldn't feed them that manure anymore, and the farm law, they got that turned down. Because they gain good on that chicken manure. How y'all think you're eating chicken manure? That's published back in the newspaper. That's where I read it. You know, you can believe what you read in the newspaper. Hear it on the radio. Okay. Number two. Cook it like God says cook it. Boil it. Chickens are good for you. But not the way they raise them today. They're not out there grazing on the grass and eating worms and insects and so forth. They force feed them. Give them antibiotics. Steroids, so they all got salmonella in them. There's a resistant strain of salmonella in all the commercial chicken herds in this country. That's the reason that you don't eat overlight eggs anymore. So my chickens are in my backyard. Where'd you get them? Well, I bought them from the hatchery. Then where'd the hatchery get the eggs? From the commercial chicken herd that feed those chickens antibiotics. Got salmonella in the eggs, salmonella in the chicks. You think I'm kidding you? I used to eat scrambled eggs. I used to eat scrambled eggs at the, and I noticed they were at the hospital. And I noticed they were pouring them out of a thing that looked like a milk container, you know. And I said, "What kind of eggs are those?" And they said, "Well, they passed a law now that we have to cook the eggs within 12 hours after they're cracked because of salmonella and." We used to crack them the night before and keep them in the refrigerator, so now we just buy the pasteurized eggs and pasteurized processed eggs and cook them. They didn't taste the same. I asked them, I said, "Well, would you crack mine just for me if I come early?" She said, "Yes, for you, Doc. No, we'll crack them and scramble them." I said, "Thank you." And so if you scramble the eggs, you cook them completely, you cook the bacteria and you kill it. And bacteria, you know, you just cook it and you get a little more protein from the bacteria. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You boil the meat.
really good till it's coming off the bone. You get a little more bacteria. You get a little more protein from the bacteria. You don't. Okay, but you're better off if you eat a lot of good God-given cereal grains, vegetables, fruits as God gave them to you. Wash them good. Eat them. Okay. And so third thing is, don't let food become your God. Look at Philippians 3:19. Now, I hope I don't step on anybody's toes now. I want you all to know I used to weigh over 200 pounds at one time. Okay, and it says now, Philippians 3:18-19. For many walk who I tell you and have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies, they want it selfish, they want to do it their way. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now let's look over and go back to Deuteronomy, back over to Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy, say amen when you find it. Deuteronomy 18:21. Anybody there? Okay. Deuteronomy 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed him, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city, that's to the judgment seat, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I fit that description at one time, all the way down the line. I thank God they didn't do to me what he says. And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, and put away this evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Don't make you know, I like ice cream. Ice cream is one of my weaknesses. I like ice cream. My daughter-in-law knows I like ice cream, and she's so sweet to me. When I go to visit, she buys 2 quarts of my favorite ice cream and puts it in the freezer. And generally, if I take out 1 scoop of it, I'll eat all 2 quarts before I leave. You know what the Bible says to do with idolatry, whose God is their belly, who are self-centered and selfish and rebel against God's law, and they're selfish? God calls that idolatry. And what does he say? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry. Flee! That's what he said to you. I mean, it's a work of the flesh. God is your belly. That's idolatry. I like it. I want to do it. You know, I was ministering to a man who was involved. I'd been involved with transcendental meditation. Had lots of problems. He was an alcoholic. He was a whoremonger. He was a drunkard. But he got into TM, and we ministered to him. We'd cast the demons out of him, and he would walk. But then he would come under temptation, and he would fall back into sexual sin. And he'd be back where he started. And we said to him, and we called his name in the book is Joshua. It's not his real name. Man, don't you see what you're doing? But I like it. That was his excuse. I like it. Well, I like ice cream. But I know that if I allow myself to eat it, I'll be weighed 200 pounds again someday. And I don't want to be there. God gave me a way out. What's the way out? I flee. I walk away from it. I will not. I'll take it and throw it in the garbage can. You want to lose weight? Stop eating sugar. You got anything around? You got sugar? Throw it in the garbage can. Got candy around there? You like candy? Throw it in the garbage can. Get rid of it. Flee from it. Don't keep it there to tempt yourself. You know what your weakness is? Get rid of it. Eat God's way. Don't let your stomach be your God. It doesn't have to be demonic. It can be a work of the flesh. But if work of the flesh stays long enough, it'll get demonic. Don't defile God's temple by eating unclean things, by eating a lot of sugar and becoming a diabetic. Diabetes type 2 we never saw in children. We only saw in people over 40 who were obese. We are now seeing obese children at 16 with diabetes type 2. And that is a bad way to go. Your life expectancy with diabetes type 2 is about 20 years, even with proper control. Everything they can do. My advice to you is get on to God's diet, repent, turn away. Stop defiling His temple. God loves you. He has laid out in His Word a diet. I have a book here by Dr. Rex Russell. He's a radiologist I'm speaking of. It's an excellent book. It talks, it's got more stuff. I don't have enough time to talk about what's in here. He has a list of all foods listed in the Bible. You should eat them, and eat them like God gave them to you as nearly as possible. And you need to be frugal, prudent, and reasonable. God told me when I was struggling with my weight so hard, and He put me on a Daniel's fast. I ate no meat, no sweets, no cereal grain. Daniel 10:3 says, I ate no pleasant food, no pleasant bread. And I interpreted that to mean no sugar, no wheat, and no flesh. And I stayed on that diet for 7 years, 6 years. It almost drove my poor wife crazy. I felt so. God eventually told me I could drink milk and eat eggs. And so my wife thought I was doing, but I lost weight. And my health came, and it improved my health tremendously. And God said I should learn to eat to live, not live to eat. How many of you live to eat? I mean, you're looking forward to the next meal, all that good stuff that you enjoy so much. Now, there's nothing wrong in moderation, all things in moderation. But if you know something, sugar is not good for you. I don't care how sweet it tastes. Now, other people have lots of other problems that they like to do that feel good. Cocaine addict said, man, you just need that high, Doc. If you had that high, you'd always want another one. He said, that's what I'm chasing is after that high. You'd feel so good. But it's killing him. Well, that good food will kill you slowly and painfully. And it will rob you of what God has for you. And it will destroy your witness to other people. And it will keep you from fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. Now, I said, don't get mad at me now. I told you, I know what it's like. And I understand what it's like. But I say to you, there is no temptation that's overtaken man, you, but what's common to man. And God will not allow you to be tempted without providing a way out. Therefore, flee idolatry. Get away from it. Don't eat it. Walk away from it. The spirit of bondage to food lives in your body in some cases. And it speaks to you in the first person, not in the second person. And it says, I need that donut. I want that donut. And you say, I'm supposed to eat that donut. It's sugar. It's the worst possible thing I can eat. I'm going to eat that. And that bondage spirit will say, I need it. And you think you're thinking it. You think it's your fault. And so he will hit fear. He will stimulate fear, that spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear or anxiety will cause your hands to tremble a little bit. That's one of the subacute autonomic symptoms that fear can cause. It can cause your hand to tremble, cause you to sweat, cause your stomach to burn, cause your head to hurt, cause you to be confused and not able to concentrate, to forget. And then bondage will say to you, my blood sugar must be low. I need that thing to get my blood sugar back up. That's not you. That's the spirit of bondage trying to bring you into submission. Are you hungry? No, I ain't hungry. And he will just turn up the heat And then he'll make you, he'll make your bladder go into spasm, you know, and then all of a sudden you gotta run to the John, and you got to go here and there, and you go eat that dog. Oh, that's so good. And he got you. And he does that 3-4 times through you. The next time you just find yourself over there, that's the cause of compulsive thought. You yield to the compulsive thoughts before you know what you're doing, what you call compulsive action. You open the refrigerator, take it out of there, and you eating it in. What am I doing with this thing in my hand? I remember one of my secretaries who weighed somewhat grossly overweight. And she wasn't my secretary. She was secretary at the church. And I was cooking chili, having a chili feed. And I was in there cooking, and she was helping with the pies. And they brought these pumpkin pies in. And I looked over at her, and we'd cut these nice slices. Big slice. I believe in giving big slices, you know, big herving. And she had taken that thing and bent it double, and she was sticking in her mouth. I didn't know if I could open that mouth that wide. But she was cramming a whole piece of pumpkin pie in her mouth at one time. And out of my mouth comes, "You don't need that." And she looked at that pie, she looked at me, and she dropped it, and she ran out crying. Horrified. Well, it was about 3 minutes. Her husband, one of the assistant pastors, was in there reading the Rod Act. He didn't ask me what happened. Boy, he told me what I'd done to his wife. And I just listened. I said, "I'm terribly sorry. But this is what happened. And she told me that if I ever a word from God, I said, "That wasn't me. That was the Spirit of God speaking to her, telling her she needed that." He said, "Don't you ever say anything to my wife again. Don't you ever prophesy to her. Don't you say anything to her." Okay. And then there were three more of her friends came and told me what they thought of me and how I had treated that poor soul. She still weighs 400 pounds. But she didn't even realize she was sticking that thing in her mouth. What shocked her was that she saw that piece of pie and she's dieting. She's going to Weight Watchers and she's doing all these things. But she had the compulsive actions because she'd yielded to that spirit of bondage so long, she needed deliverance. But her pastor, her husband had said he'd fasted and prayed for her, and if he was a pastor, and if he'd fasted and prayed, and he had bound that spirit, and if it had been there, it had come out because he was a pastor. Yes? Mm-hmm. You think, and what did I say to him? I kept my mouth shut. He didn't ask me for my opinion, and I sure didn't give it to him. And so I say to you, flee idolatry. Now, praise God. And so I tell you, get away from sugar, people. Limit yourself. Don't eat fat. Don't eat sugar. Don't eat meat. Eat it boiled. Eat reasonable portions of it. Eat a lot of raw vegetables. A lot of good raw vegetables. You want to have something to eat? Go down, to Kroger's and get this little bag of carrots. Little bit of carrots, you know. Eat those. I mean, that costs you calories to eat those things. They're all right. They don't taste very good. They don't have much of a flavor to them. But they're something to chew on. You figure you got to chew. Chew on them carrots. Get you some bell peppers. Chew on those. Get you some iceberg lettuce. Chew on that. I don't like that. That's good. You won't chew on very much then. But it's good for you. Praise God. Let's all stand up now. I want to pray for you. I hope that I have not stepped on anyone's toes here. But I tell you, you need to eat right, and you need to get your weight down, and you need not to defile God's temple. This country has an epidemic of obesity, and for the first time, the longevity of our people is going down rather than up. It's because we eat too much sugar, and too much refined foods, the wrong kind of food. Say, "Dear Lord, I love you. Lord, touch me. Touch me, Lord God. Let this go down into my heart, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord, to discern your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Give me strength, Lord, to stand against rebellion, selfishness, idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of bondage to selfishness, to rebellion, to the God of the belly. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I break the bondage. I break the bondage of curse of obesity. It's come down through the family line. The eating and drinking of blood. The eating and drinking of fat. In the name of Jesus. I break its power over me. In Jesus' name, I bind it and cast it out. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I break all the curses, all the evil soul ties to undesirable foods, unclean foods, fattening foods, sweet foods, foods that I like. In the name of Jesus, I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, now turn them loose. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Everybody cough. Come on, cough. Everybody cough. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. All you fat demons in the name of Jesus. All you diabetic demons. All you sweet demons. All you compulsive demons. Come out, all you bondage spirits. I bind you and I break your power. And I speak healing to these people. Healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing. Lord, touch them now. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I say to you, you shall not steal this word. This word is as fallen on good soil. And it shall bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. But the lost wisdom of God will give understanding to these people. And you cannot steal it. And it will bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Fruit for the kingdom of God. And so say you all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless the food. God bless the food. Bless those that cooked it and those that are going to eat it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody wants Dr. Russell's book, I would suggest that you see Patty, and she will order one for you. I have a list of the foods prescribed in the Bible here, but it is copyrighted, so I cannot Xerox it, but I'll post it on the wall back there for anybody who wants to make notes on it. But you cannot make a Xerox copy because it is copyrighted, and it is against the law to copyright without written permission. And I don't intend to put myself or you under the curse of the thief. Amen?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.